The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Don't let the Mondays get you down, you guys. Rise and grind. Rise and grind.
It's a very Monday. Ugh.
But I have rose. I have groaned. And that's truly all that matters.
Yeah, it's really the first step towards getting through the day.
Yeah.
But, you know, we actually have a lot to cover today. And so for that, I'm excited to get so much off my chest.
Do you ever, like, have trouble sleeping because you have so much to say the next morning and, like, you're not going to be able to be at peace until you get things off your chest?
Only when what I have to say is either, like, addressing something controversial or, like, where I'm about to, like, have such a hot take that I need to get all my words in order.
Do you have a hot take today?
No. Okay. I'm just, like, I watched so much content this weekend. I literally did not leave my bed. So I just have so many thoughts to share.
Yeah, Jackie and I both watched the first episode of the Gossip Girl reboot. We both watched The Real Housewives of Potomac season premiere last night, and we're gonna be talking about it in the TV recap because
we caught up on Love Island. So
yes, we did.
You're more caught up than I am, so we're just gonna, like, talk about our initial thoughts. And I read It Ends With Us.
Oh my god, you did?
I did. Because okay, you
this
said
is
that
the book segment. What were your thoughts?
You know what? I really, really liked it. Okay. Like, I was ready to be like Colleen Hoover, like, you know, they're losing their virginities, they're 15, but, like, it wasn't.
No, that,
like,
book that we both read that Margo recommended about, like, the teenagers losing their virginity, like,
Finding Carter.
It's the worst book. It's crazy because I would say maybe, I don't know how many five-star books I have that aren't, like, celebrity memoirs. Most of them are by Colleen Hoover. Ugly Love by Colleen Hoover is also a great one that you might like. It Ends With Us is premium. And Margo recommended my first Colleen Hoover book. What was that one called?
Hopeless.
Atrocious.
Yeah.
Atrocious. There was, like, a nice little twist at the end, but it didn't matter because, like, what got us there was just so unsettling.
Yeah, I totally agree. But this was not that. This was very good. I read it in, you know, less than 24 hours and I really enjoyed it. I was like, when I woke up on Saturday morning, I was, like, excited to finish it.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated your recommendation.
That's my first book I've ever recommended you.
And it was nice to just breeze through something, but it had a lot of heart.
Yes.
And so I really enjoyed it. And then I went to watching TV, like, just the rest of the weekend. My weekend was really sort of, I mean, not
Wait,
sort
can we
of.
Talk about the book?
Oh, I mean, what else is there to say?
Okay, so, like, there's a few things to say. One, like, when she actually in the book said It Ends With Us, like, did you get chills? Because I did.
Yes, but I had realized previously what
she
the
was
title
referring to.
Meant. Like, when I first picked up the book, I thought It Ends With Us means, like, oh, we're endgame. Like,
yes.
It ends with us. And then once I realized she was breaking the cycle of abuse, I was like, spoiler alert. I was like, it ends with them.
I didn't get it until she said it in the book. It was stunning.
Once I realized that that's what it was, I was like, I wonder if she's going to say the title in the book. So when it came, I was like, perfect.
Okay. And also, I really felt like the book was really well done. Maybe I'm, like, looking too much into it, but, like, it was a journey, like, for me, because, like, you're so shipping her and this first guy, and then this, like, first night happens, you're like, well, was it an accident? You feel like you're actually going through the cycle of emotions of, like, what it's like to be in that situation, because I'm like, there's no way. Like, it was definitely an accident.
Yeah.
Like, everything's, their life is perfect.
Yeah.
So I loved it. Like,
no,
and by
she
way,
really did a good job, and I was reading her, like, author's notes at the end of, like, what she was, like, did you read the author?
No, but Jillian was telling me it's inspired by her mom.
Yeah. So, she really did a good job of, like, trying to get you into that perspective and, like, have the same thoughts that Lily might have had. And I'm sure that was, like, hard to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really, really well done. I agree. That first night I was like,
no way.
No. Yeah.
Also, it has been purchased by Hollywood. Justin Baldoni is involved in the project in some way. I don't know, like, if that means it's actually coming, but I have heard and read articles that it is. Is Theo eating something?
He's eating a bone. Like, oh, the good perfect boy that he is.
Who's a perfect man.
So perfect. So wonderful.
I'm so glad you like the book. Like, that makes me so happy.
Yeah. And so for my next book choice, for my next trick, I don't know what path I'm going to go down. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I'm at a crossroads. I've kind of tied up all these tunnels and now I'm ready for a new tunnel. So I don't know where I'm going to go from here. It'll be interesting.
I heard Girl With No Job, The Crazy Beautiful Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster, available on Amazon and all platforms where you can get audio, print, or digital books. I heard that was a great one.
Yeah.
It has like a lot of reviews on Amazon, and a lot of them are nice.
It does. I was actually looking at that recently. The thing is, I've read it 3 times, so I don't think I'm going to read it again.
No, but I have heard that the fourth time is like really kind of this transformative experience. That is what I've heard.
Okay. That's good to know.
I'm glad you've read it as many times as I have.
Yeah.
It's so good.
No, like on my Goodreads, it says read 3 times.
Yes. Okay, well, I'm so glad you liked my recommendation.
Yes, thank you so much. And then I spent the rest of my weekend watching the show Medici on Netflix. It's a historical show based in truth, but, you know, they have to put their lies in there, too, like, mm-hmm. to make drama, even though it's, like, such a dramatic period of time, and, like, they're still making
shit. It's like Sully.
Like Sully. And they're still making shit up. But yeah. Even though, like, Sully, at the end of the day, like, wasn't really a story that required a movie. But
yeah, because there was no, like, adversity or no plot. Like, it was just a true heroic moment.
Yeah.
But then they threw in this whole, like, Copper Diavra about this, like, committee. I don't know.
Yeah, but all the committee stuff, if you guys are curious, the stuff in Sully about the committee, like, nobody was pressing Sully about whether he should or shouldn't have landed in the Hudson. And also, like, the way they fetishized the Hudson, it was, like, really fucking weird.
Do you think that there is a single soul on this earth who knows more about the Sully movie and the Sully story than you? It might be Brian Kelly, but...
I was gonna say, I think there has to be, because I'm not even, like, an aviation person, but I don't know if there's anyone on this earth who, like, thinks...
Stands Sully?
No, who, like, Sully, the movie, the man, and the story live rent-free in your mind. You know?
As they should.
It's really a beautiful story, except for those pesky birds. Those Ooh, were the villains.
Totally.
Yeah, they should have had, like, the
an
story.
An animated, like, prequel about the birds and,
like,
their plan.
And they, like, woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Mm-hmm. And, like,
what led them to that decision.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think that would have been great.
That would be crazy. So anyways, Medici is really good. I just finished season 2. It's, like, honestly really stressful. And, like, the Medicis were, like, so powerful. But, of course, the show only, like, focuses on, like, their trials and tribulations and never the success, mm-hmm. which is just bothersome about shows in general. Like, can't we, like, enjoy the good times, too? I was just, like, stressed out. But then season 2 ended in a really crazy way. So I'm going to watch season 3. It has so many actors from Game of Thrones in it. It was really crazy. Like, Richard Madden is the star in the first season.
So handsome.
And crazily enough, he is, like, in a scene with Walder Frey, and he winds up marrying her daughter.
His daughter,
right. So it's, like...
That's crazy.
It's really crazy, because, you know, that's why he died.
Spoiler alert.
And then also Ned Stark is in it. Oh! And he is, spoiler alert, the villain in a big, major way. And it's interesting. So...
I started Manifest.
I saw your story, but I didn't watch it. Because I was tapping through to see Ben's reaction about Gossip Girl.
Are you trying to hurt my feelings?
I'm trying to be honest. I'm trying to keep it real with you.
Okay. Well, everyone's talking about the show, right? So I'm like, me and Ben were looking for something, you know, to start together. We liked Lost, kind of. So we were just looking to go on a journey together. And I swear I thought I started watching the wrong show, because this thing that I was watching was actual community theater. It was an insult to Hallmark. Like, the acting, I was shook. I'm like... I was sure that I put on the wrong show. So then...
But there was the plane?
Well, yeah. So then I looked it up. It's like the plane, the 5 years. Like, that's not a spoiler. It's the premise.
No, like, I've never watched and I know that.
So I'm like, what? This cannot be it. So I'm like, you know, let me give it... Pilots are always weird. Let me give it, like, 3 episodes. And it's just getting, like, worse and worse. And what's troublesome is that it's actually, like, a decent premise for a show.
Right.
Adjusting to life when you've been missing for 5 years, but for you it only feels like you've been missing for a day. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, frustrated that they... did what they did, because it's so bad when it's, like, a decent premise, even though a lot of it is definitely lifted from Lost. So there's, like, the number of the plane is following them around, and, like, that's literally what Lost was. Like, whatever. It's atrocious. I did stop watching it and, okay. and went on to other things that we're going to talk about in the TV recap.
We are going to talk about in the TV recap. Really excited to talk about Gossip Girl, talk about community theater. Mm-hmm. Some of the worst acting I've ever seen.
I cannot wait to talk about it.
Okay, so do you think that without further ado, are you all caught up? How was your birthday?
Yeah. Yay! Yeah. Thanks for remembering. It was great. You know, I really was not like other girls on my birthday. Like, I feel like I was so chill. You know, I just woke up and like me and Ben, I went to return, you know, a couple of the gifts that I had gotten, which were so thoughtful, but just not for me.
So excited to announce that she did not return my gift.
I actually wore it. Oh my God. On Saturday. I'm obsessed.
I made it. I'm safe. Yes. I did good.
But some of the other gifts, mostly from Ben, one from Margo. Sorry, Margo.
It's fine. She returned your gift.
Yeah. So it's just, at this point, it's just an exchange of credits, you know?
Yes.
So then we did that. We had like a lovely lunch. I went over to Michaela's house. And then we went to a baseball game, which, like I said, I'm not like other girls spending my day at a baseball game, but it was like so fun. First of all, like, gorgeous night, you know, like not too hot, not too cold, even though it did start to rain like a little bit at the end, but then we left. And it was just fabulous. Like, I don't know. There was just something about the energy at the Mets game, you know, so much alcohol, so much food. It was just really fun. Like, I highly recommend going to a baseball game on your birthday. It's just like hours of sitting, drinking fun, which is really my personal aesthetic.
Plus, if you like baseball, there's that too.
Oh, yeah, which I do like baseball. Ben's friend plays on the Mets. He hit a home run and it was just like,
a homer?
It was such a thrill, you know? Like, Mets fans are nuts, though. Like, truly nuts. It was just thrilling, you know? Like, I'd never been so excited to see a home run before. And it was fun. And then we watched the fight. I know you didn't watch.
I didn't watch, but we're going to talk about the fight.
Okay, so I got some thoughts.
Yeah, we have one story about the fight, and then you can share all your fight thoughts.
But those are my birthday thoughts. It was just, like, really chill, you know, like, not like other girls. Like, I don't like to make a big deal of my birthday.
Right, after having two parties, so chill.
I really don't like to make it a big deal.
Well, we're so glad that you turned 27 in an extremely chill way. Claude, getting older is only sad if you are living in a state of denial.
Therefore, I am sad. I'm in denial about a lot of things.
Claude, why do I keep calling you Claude?
I don't know. It's just upsetting. Like I'm so far away from high school. Does that make sense?
Don't be like that. Like, no, who wants to be in high school? Look at Gossip Girl.
No, I know. But, like, I actually had a good time in high school. And, like, I'm just getting, like, further and further away. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like so old.
But you're getting closer. Like, you should look, you have to have things to look forward to. You can't only just like look at the past. Like, aren't you excited to like, you know, be a lady who lunches one day and like, you know.
I am. But also like, I think what lies ahead for the future, like also gives me anxiety because some people like run into the future, like ready to have kids. Like, I'm not. Yeah. So now I just feel like now with each year that I get closer, it's like less acceptable for me to say that.
Okay, that's fair. But you know what? Normalize doing what feels right for you.
Yeah, no, I'm working on it. I really am. I'm working on the normalization, but it's not easy.
No, it's not.
It ain't.
Okay, well, thank you for opening up to us.
Sure, it's my pleasure.
And now I think without further ado, where are you being here? Right, perfect.
Eating a bone.
It is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. No. Oh, no. She's back.
The power of Christ compels me to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Away. Away is the modern lifestyle brand that creates thoughtful products for every traveler and every kind of trip. They started with the perfect suitcase, crafted with features that make travel more seamless. And now, when travel looks more different than ever before, you can count on Away's range of suitcases, bags, and accessories whenever you take your next trip. I just have to say, I have had the same one Away suitcase for years, and I took that thing with me. I took that thing with me on tour to 60 cities. Doesn't even have a scratch. It's literally the best suitcase. And it's true. They say like it is the perfect suitcase. And it just is. Like the compartments, that thing in the middle, the zippers, the laundry bag, like the hard shell, soft interior. It is really just the best suitcase. And it's so worth just investing in one good suitcase because it'll last you so long. And they're also really cute, which also does not
hurt. They're cute. And the sizes are perfect because you can have the carry-on one. You can have a super big one for when you want to check luggage. But
they also have the in-betweener.
The in-between, don't sleep on the medium size because sometimes you don't need the biggest bag available, but you do want to check luggage.
All of their suitcases are designed to last a lifetime with durable exteriors that can withstand even the roughest of bag handlers. Very true. Also, it comes with a little sponge, which is great for getting out scuffs. I didn't know that. And it's in this like shiny little tinfoil thing. And it comes out immediately. All the suitcases come with an interior organization system. It includes a built-in compression pad to help you pack more, a hidden and removable laundry bag that separates your dirty clothes because you guys know like there's nothing more embarrassing than having a compartment of dirty underwear that like TSA looks through. So Away has really thought of everything. They have a TSA-approved combination lock that keeps all your belongings safe, and it's available in different materials like polycarbonate, aluminum, and durable nylon in a variety of colors and styles. They're all designed to last a lifetime. They have a 100-day trial on everything that they make, so you can take the product on the road, live with it, travel with it, get lost with it for 100 days. If you decide it's not for you, you can return any non-personalized items for a full refund during that period. And they offer free shippings and returns. So start your 100-day trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases, at awaytravel.com/toast. That's awaytravel.com/toast.
Sign on. Travel easily.
Truly.
Okay, first story, a little UFC fight news, and then we'll talk about the rest of the fight. But Addison Rae is responding to backlash over her UFC gig, saying, "Y'all got me fired." The influencer said she got fired after sports fans took issue with her recent gig conducting a red carpet interview for UFC and her quip that she, quote, studied broadcast journalism in college for 3 whole months to prepare for this moment. Then she tweeted a few hours later, "Never mind, y'all got me fired." She covered a preliminary event for Saturday's big UFC 264, where Dustin Poirier, spoiler alert, beat Conor McGregor. She was conducting the interview with him because they are apparently from the same hometown.
Yes, he's from Louisiana.
But people took issue with her tweet that said, an Instagram post, "I studied broadcast journalism in college for 3 whole months to prepare for this moment."
Which was obviously a joke. Right. I don't think she got fired. I think like it was a one-off. It was a joke. It was a one-off gig.
Yeah.
But
I don't think she was like the next Joe Rogan.
No. I have a lot of thoughts on this. Because I feel like we were just talking about this when Laverne Cox got the job at Juliana Rancic's job.
Yeah.
Because it really is like this new world we're living in where people with platforms are becoming eligible for jobs that you once had to study for. And it's like this new world we're living in. And of course, like it's great in some ways, but it's difficult for other people trying to break into the business. And I really do totally get that. At some point, it's just like, I don't think this is like a real interviewee type of job. It's just like a press thing. I do think them choosing Addison Rae was an interesting choice, like for sports fans anyways. But like, look, it's making news. People are talking about the fight that probably weren't even talking about it. So I don't know. I think it's fine. Like the joke was funny. It's not.
The joke was funny. And I think what she was trying to say is actually most celebrities who go on to do like talking head stuff, which there are so many, have no experience in journalism. They probably.
Or didn't study it.
Right. But like she studied journalism for 3 months. It was a joke. Haha. LOL. Like really not that serious.
Haha. Laugh. Funny.
Haha, laugh, funny. People just will be upset about anything.
Depending on the person. Like, some people can get away with everything, but Addison's one of those people where people are like, really? No talent? I'm sorry. Like, homegirl, say what you want. There's some talent there. You have to have some ounce of talent to get from where she was to where she is.
Like, in so many different ways. Not only to just be, like, a successful influencer, but to be Addison Rae, who's actually the creme de la creme.
Of influencers.
Of influencing and finding a mainstream career from it.
100%. So I don't know, I just like hate these pylons, and I think that, again, I always just come on here always try to advocate on behalf of the influencer, because we're just like constantly getting shit on as like illegitimate business people, and it's just like annoying, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree.
You're bothered by Addison Rae's success. You are, and it's time you look in the mirror and accept that, because she's literally 11 years old and has multi-million dollars. So I'm upset too. It's fine. But
get over it. But it is what it is. Life isn't fair, you guys.
You know what it is? Yes. Yes. Life isn't fair. And it's not Addison Rae's job to not take a job so it doesn't upset you. Life isn't fair.
Right. And just because you go to school for how many years for something, like, still doesn't mean that you necessarily are going to get that job, especially when there's only a handful of jobs and it's based on, like, talent, knowledge, and a million other things.
Yeah. No, but, like, life is just not fair. It's so true. And I think we need to remember that more.
No, people have forgotten.
No, because I think like our generation,
life to be fair.
Our generation like expects the world to like cater to them, when so much of the human experience is getting out and getting upset and getting
and rejection. You
know, yeah, and it's like we have forgotten that.
Yeah,
and Addison Rae is here to remind us.
Yes, it's an important lesson.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
But the fight, by the way, I watched like the last 3 fights.
Oh, right.
On the card. So like the third to last one, like the guy got knocked out in a minute and 30 seconds. Like it was actually sad. And I was like, damn, I wanted to see like more fight. Then the second to last one, they went all 5 rounds, and holy shit, I've never been so bored in my whole life. So I'm like, which one do I like better? Then the Conor McGregor. So I was like rooting for Conor McGregor because he's like funny and like he kind of like is like an Instagrammer. I don't know like what he does. Even though the other guy was from America and like I should have been supporting America. And The guy from America.
Were they billing it as like...
Yes, UFC. Everyone like holds their flag and their pictures have their flags. And it's like an international competition.
It's an international affair?
Yeah. Okay, it's cool. An international lifestyle brand. I can't believe Sonya Morgan wasn't in attendance.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't even know that. I wish I had watched. Honestly, I had no clue it was on. Like, because Zach was busy. And so usually he's like, oh, you got to come see this. Track. Like, because he'll be like Travis and Courtney just like stuck each other's tongues at each other.
Right. So I really watched because it's like it's a huge stadium, but the seats around the ring are so close to the ring. So you could see every celebrity. I saw Miles and Kelly Teller. I saw Machine Gun Megan Kelly. I saw Travis and Courtney, Jonathan Chabon. Like, it was really a star-studded event, and that's why I tuned in. But then that last fight, I have to say, like, I actually have chills coming down my spine. So here's what happened. Conor McGregor is just like a shit talker. Like, he talks shit about everyone, and he's lost like 3 fights in a row now, so it's like, you gotta stop talking shit. So he's losing like really bad. This guy's just, and UFC is different than like Floyd Mayweather boxing. Like, it's no holds barred. You could technically die in the ring. Like, it's blood.
I just learned that recently, that if you were to kill someone in the ring,
it's legal manslaughter. It's
legal killing.
No, it's crazy. And so, like, they get bloody. There's blood all over the ring. It's nuts. And so Conor McGregor is getting his ass beat. His ear is like falling off. He's so bloody. He gets back up. There's not a lot of time left in this particular round. And the other guy, Poirier, punches him. Conor dodges it, but loses his footing at the same time. And literally snaps his ankle in half. They kept replaying it in slow motion. I wanted to vomit. Oh, he couldn't get up. You know how at the end, sometimes they call it. Like, if you not going to finish the whole round, like, it's clear that there's a winner. And, like, ethically, the doctors don't want, you know, that person competing anymore. They stand up and, you know, you do the hand thing.
Yeah.
Conor couldn't even get up for the hand thing. He literally sat in the corner, like, getting his ankle wrapped, like, screaming, like, your wife is in my DMs. Like, he's insane. But the ankle snapping was so chilling. That's bone chilling. Awful. And honestly, shame on you, ESPN Plus. Played it 1,000 times. I was going to puke. It was putrid. He like slipped and it cracked and it was just so disgusting. But it was a wild ride. He literally left the arena in a stretcher and was like, oh, fuck you. Like, he was being crazy.
That sounds really entertaining.
It was.
That's really sad that he snapped his ankle. I hope no one stole his Campari on top of it.
Shut up.
I really hope so for him.
Jackie, you're a conspiracy theorist because you have claimed for years that when we were on Olivia's bachelorette party, literally in the middle of the night, your wrist was hurting.
We hadn't gone to bed yet.
You said, somebody snapped my wrist, and then you couldn't find your chapstick, and you said they also stole your Campari. And I just want to let you know, you did not sit next to Stanley Tucci on the plane ride home from LA, and nobody snapped your wrist or stole your Campari.
Wow. See, the memory of you. You know where the Campari was found.
In Margot's makeup case.
In your makeup case.
Oh,
in
please. You know, I don't even like the Campari chapstick.
Yes, you do. Everyone was like,
oh. It's too tinted. Like, if you don't know, like, you end up looking like Dorinda.
And here's the thing. Like, I can give you the benefit of the doubt and say, like, it was probably an accident.
Or you probably dropped it in. Like, why would it be on me? I did not steal your Campari.
I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to say, like,
I don't need help. I didn't steal your. I don't need your forgiveness. I didn't steal your Campari. And Margot snapped your wrist.
So I'm not crazy. My Campari was missing and my wrist was snapped. So you want to take back what you said?
I don't know. Why don't you just go over to Floyd Mayweather's house? Oh, no. Conor McGregor's house. You guys can just cry together.
We can talk about it together. Yeah. Yeah, he can relate.
Just two Irish redheads.
Anyways, thank you for proving my point, though.
No, I did no such thing.
No, you literally.
Nothing of the sort.
You did, so thank you
so much. It was a great fight. It was exciting, thrilling. Celebs were out. Everyone was in Vegas. Dave Chappelle was there.
Now.
Oh, and Joe Rogan
is the star.
He literally was like, he always does, like, you know, he wears the headsets and like.
I mean, he came up from UFC.
Yeah, but I don't know if he always did this. After each fight, he got in the ring with the winner.
I saw the pictures.
And he had to get down on the floor to sit next to Conor McGregor and give him an interview. It was hilarious.
I saw it. Really funny.
You just love to see like a small indie podcaster, you know, getting out there and getting opportunities. We're so happy for him.
So happy for him. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I bet he didn't go to journalism school. So if you guys want to take that up with him, I'm sure he'll put you in your place.
And you know what? Now that I think about it, in sports a lot, it's like a thing. Once you graduate from being doing sports, you become
a broadcaster.
Right. Like Ben's favorite show, NBA on TNT, is like half, like, I guess, like traditional journalists and half former basketball players.
Yeah.
That's just like the cycle of life in sports. And Addison Rae has literally won the championship of TikTok dances, and now she's retiring and doing sports broadcasting.
But also, in defense of influencers, a lot of being an influencer is showcasing your personality. Not for everyone, but for a lot of people. And Addison Rae, I think, has gotten to where she is because she's a really good dancer and like all of these things, and she's so cute and whatnot. But because her, like, people like her personality. And that's what interviewing people is about.
Yeah, and it's like, I just can't explain. It's not, you know, a Diane Sawyer sit-down interview. It's like a red carpet.
Like, Instagram Live. Like, it's really not that deep.
It's not that deep.
She was making a joke. Like, I just can't understand everyone who's really so upset.
Yeah, and I just, like, I hate this world that we're living in. We're like, someone just can't make a joke.
Someone just can't make a joke.
Like, don't, it's not a big deal. It's a joke.
Okay, well, are you ready for our next story? It's a little happy couple news.
I, like, am, but I'm really distracted by, there appears to be something in Theo's coat. Will you just...
I saw it this morning. It looks like not something I want to touch. Like, it's like grease and... Oh, my God. What is it? Do you know what happened?
I don't know, but it appears to be, like, tacky, like tar.
Yeah.
Or grease or gum. I'll get it out after. I just thought maybe it was, like, something I could pull out.
When he walked in, I thought it was a twig, and then I quickly realized it wasn't.
Poor Angel.
I'm sorry.
Thank you so much.
Maybe some happy couple news to cheer you up.
Oh, definitely.
Adele shops at Outlet Mall with rumored boyfriend Skepta.
Okay, I'm more interested in the Outlet Mall.
Okay, yes, I know that you are. Page Six is told that shoppers at the Cabazon Outlets, a discount mall just outside San Bernardino, California, were stunned to see the Rolling in the Deep singer in the discount Prada store there. Oh, and by the way, she seems to be dating that rapper she said she wasn't dating.
What's his name?
Skepta.
I don't think I've ever heard of him, and I didn't know that there were any rumors.
There were. I feel like I remember seeing rumors, but then she also like said she was single on SNL, so people were like, okay, maybe not. But
she's living her best life. It
seems as though they were spotted together at the Prada outlet.
I just want to say, like, couldn't be me. You know, most profound singer of a generation shopping at a discount store. Like, that would just not be me. Like, if I was like a true celebrity with access to true celebrity wealth, like, you could not pull me off of like the true Rodeo Drive. Like,
I don't know if they're like driving through San Bernardino. Maybe like this is a renowned outlet store. You can find things that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to find.
There are renowned outlet stores. I actually have been to one in Florence and it was heaven. And I was like having the time of my life. But I just like, I guess that's just me, you know, like being greedy. But to me, the real story here is Adele discount shopping.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like two big stories put together.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm happy for her.
I wonder if she made investments. Wonder if she got anything.
Anything good. Yeah, I'm happy for her in this new relationship. I'm not going to put all my eggs in a basket. I know nothing about. It's early. Again, just looking. Hopefully he makes her feel a wide range of emotions that inspire ballads, you know? Mm-hmm. Of course, we wish for her happiness, but we also wish for a journey to get there so that we can go on that journey with her.
Yes, I agree. And I think that's important just for, like, the world.
Yeah, I also think it's worth mentioning, like, some of the greatest songwriters of our generation have written their best music, like, while also in a happy place. Like, I think that
it's possible.
Kacey Musgraves, like, has written some of her best work, like, in good times and in bad times, happy and sad at the same time.
Literally.
So I'm not worried about Adele's ability to produce. I just, you know, a little heartbreak never hurt the songwriting process.
I agree. Just emotions, period.
Yeah, I want all the emotions. I want, like, excessive happiness, profound sadness. Like, not that I'm wishing sadness on Adele because she's my girl, but, like, you know, girls gotta eat. We need a new album.
Yeah.
It's been quite a long time.
It has been, but it'll be worth the wait. It always is.
It always is. I actually remember when that second album came out, 25. It's crazy. She's only had two, right? 21 and 25? She also had 19.
She had three,
Well, she wasn't really famous when she had 19, but yeah, sure. That was like the Chasing Pavements. Sure. When 25 came out, it was like a really long time ago, I got it illegally downloaded. Somebody sent it around.
Yeah.
I think you got it too.
But I don't think I listened to it.
Not to implicate you in my internet crime.
I don't think I listened to it. Because even sometimes I get, you know, album samplers from the industry. And I don't like to listen to them before they're out. Because, like, I feel like I can't enjoy it. I can't explain.
Oh, I definitely downloaded the illegal version and listened to it, like, on repeat.
Yeah. No, that's not for me. But
it's just one of the fun facts about myself is that I had 25 before anyone else did. Because, like, someone at work, when we were interns.
Yeah, shared it with you.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It was exciting.
Excitement thrilling. Excites you.
It does excite me.
Do you want some more happy couple news that is just so cute and sweet?
Sure.
Eddie Murphy's son, Eric, is dating Martin Lawrence's daughter, Jasmine.
Daughter?
is Lawrence.
Sorry, that's really cute.
Lawrence's daughter.
Okay, that's so cute. Because you know, like, the kids will be behaving. They will be treating each other right because their parents are involved.
Yeah, and they're, like, they'll always make each other laugh, says Page Six. Eddie Murphy's son, Eric Murphy, is dating Martin Lawrence's daughter, Jasmine Lawrence.
You know what's funny?
She revealed their relationship in a sweet Instagram post celebrating his 32nd birthday on Saturday.
Eric Murphy is the name of E from Entourage. So I just thought that was funny.
Oh, that's hysterical.
No, it's, I'm dying laughing. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to write that into my next show.
I know. It's a joke, people.
This is so cute.
This is so cute and so sweet. Like, mm-hmm. You love to see it.
I love just, like, celebrity kid news. We should have, like, a weekly segment, the CKN, because there's nothing I love more than celebrity offspring.
Oh, I completely disagree. There's actually, like, I can't, it depends what the news is, but when it's, like, two people whose parents are friends and funny and they get together and it's like such a cute relationship, I'm so here for that. But like generally speaking, I'm not here for celebrity kids news because you're a celebrity kid.
Well, you know what? I think that actually is a really interesting conversation, speaking about Addison Rae. Like, okay, so everyone's all upset opportunities are going to Addison Rae, even though like she works, you know, hard to create a platform and she is not undeserving of the role. Are there other people who are deserving? Yes. I think an interesting conversation that we like almost never have is like the celebrity nepotism and the offspring. Like, she's very talented. Kaia Gerber, like, overnight becoming the biggest model in the world because her mom is Cindy Crawford.
Yeah.
There's so many examples I can think of like people directing TV shows or just so like acting because they wanted to one day, you know?
Right, but also like what I see more of, just because like this is what we do every day, is just like the headlines about like these kids as if they're like celebrities themselves and like we should care that they took a shit. I don't care. Like, if your parent took a shit, call me.
Yeah, of course. Like, we want the scoop.
But, like, I really don't, just because you're someone's kid, like, I really don't care what you're up to.
No, of course not. But I do think that, like, see, maybe it's just because I'm an influencer and I'm always, like, really feeling on the defense about being an influencer. Like, I really don't understand the backlash that, like, an Addison Rae would get for something like that. And again, maybe that's just because I'm biased. But I feel like I actually could understand, like, maybe we reserve some of that upsetness for, like, celebrity offsprings getting things literally out of nowhere just because like they decided to one day.
Right, I agree.
And that I can understand.
Right, I could understand that too. I don't think there's, you know,
there's no outrage.
There's not a lot of noise about that.
No, I'm saying like there's no outrage on the celebrity nepotism when actually that seems like a very reasonable thing to be outraged about.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, here we are.
I completely agree.
Even though, see, I feel two ways because sometimes I'm like with the celebrity offsprings, like they just like decide to become successful and they just get it. It's like kind of not fair. But also I do live for it. Like, some of my favorite people to follow on TikTok are celebrity offsprings. Not enough people know that Sandy Cohen from the OC's daughter has a TikTok. And it's pretty much just like her and Sandy. They're Swifties. Like, well, his name is Peter. But it's premium content. Courtney Cox's daughter has a TikTok. Laura Dern's daughter has a TikTok. So many famous people's kids have TikToks. And the parents like slide in and out. And it's some of the best contests. Iris Apatow. Amazing TikTok. Just something worth mentioning. So yeah.
When I was on TikTok and
like an old person now. Back when I was on TikTok.
No, but I would see like you know, the celebrity kids and then their parents would come in and it's like, oh my god. Like,
yeah.
No, but I was not here for it.
Oh, I love it.
No, I was not.
Love.
Okay, so you know, we just have different interests.
Because we're not like other girls.
And we're so different from one another.
No, we couldn't have had more different life experiences up until this point that led us to have different opinions.
We actually are really different from each other.
We actually are.
No, considering like we're so similar.
No, considering we've lived like the same lives, we couldn't be more different.
Like, I feel like to the outside eye, like we're the same person, so similar. We talk the same, do the same, blah, blah, blah. But like once you know us, you really see how different we are.
No, we're so different. So different.
Are you ready for our next story? I know you're not ready because you're never going to be ready.
No, because I'm a little hungry. And I think I'm just going to go nibble on some fabulous snacks from nuts.com.
You should.
The best kept secret of savvy snackers across the country. They have the best snacks. I just feel like it's time to elevate your pantry, what you're munching on. You got to get into some chocolate toffee cashews, bourbon pecans or pecans, some crystallized ginger. They have honey sesame sticks. So they have a variety of snacks and pantry items, including candies, dried fruits, and pantry items like baking mixes, pasta, and more. They sell everything at nuts.com. Obviously, lots of really good, delicious nuts, but tons of other things. And it's just about time we stop like snacking on the same chips from the grocery store. Like, we need to be elevated. We're all getting older. Like, we're more mature. And it's just time to have organic, roasted, salted nuts, candy nuts, any nuts you can imagine. Nuts.com is here for you. And honestly, it's nuts.
It's nuts.
They have over 4,000 products to choose from.
Delicious. And it's not all just nuts.
That's what I'm saying, because they have delicious, healthy, kid-friendly snacks like dried strawberries and custom trail mix. Plus, they have all the raw, roasted, salted, and candied nuts you can imagine, even chocolate dipped, which are a personal favorite of mine.
Right, and those like white chocolate truffle nuts, guys, treat yourself.
It's a family-run business that takes pride in getting you the freshest ingredients. Nuts.com is your one-stop online pantry. Delivery is fast. Most orders will ship the same day, and they have fresher products than the supermarket. So if you want to be a new Nuts.com customer and get free shipping on your first order, text TOAST to 64,000. So text TOAST, TOAST, to 64,000 to get free shipping on your first order from Nuts.com. That's TOAST to 64,000. Terms apply. Available at Nuts.com/terms.
Sign on. Up your snack game. Yeah. It's time. You probably don't even realize that you need to, but once you do, you'll be so glad that you did.
Yeah.
It's so nice to walk into your pantry and have options. Things to eat. And have things that excite you.
And you know what excites me? Excitement. And Nuts.com. We are so different.
Okay, our next story. I'm so sorry to do this to you. I apologize.
Is this Chloe and Tristan?
Yes.
But is it the comments?
Of course. Okay, okay. And I'm only doing it because, like, really everyone's talking about it, and I want to, you know, we have to join the conversation.
And in case you were wondering what loser on loser crime looks like, this is it.
Okay. So Tristan Thompson seems to threaten Lamar Odom on Khloe Kardashian's Instagram. The trouble in paradise started when Odom commented hottie and a string of emojis under a snap of Khloe being a hottie. And then Tristan took issue with that, writing, quote, God brought you back the first time. Play if you want. Different results. He followed it up with a more restrained heart, heart, drool, drool emoji.
LOL. Okay, here's the thing. Neither one, as far as I know, neither one of these men are currently linked to Khloe in a romantic way, which makes this the loseriest thing ever. It's like, she doesn't want either of you and you're still fighting over her. Like, go to sleep, you know, like, get off your phone.
Yeah.
In terms of the actual fight, I am team Lamar. And here's why. Because it's always nice to be called a hottie. Like, there's, it doesn't have to be romantic. And honestly, for Tristan to respond in such a condescending way about, like, a very traumatic time, a traumatizing event in Lamar's life and in Khloe's life.
And in all of our lives.
Yeah, I actually am personally offended by that. And I think, and I know he's made mistakes, but I do think we need to protect Lamar Odom at all costs. And Tristan Thompson is not doing that. And therefore, I am team Lamar.
Okay, and here's, I agree with you, and I also think, like, when you really think about his comment, like, it's really upsetting.
Hurtful.
Like, it's just so wrong.
It's so disrespectful.
Yeah, also, like, what are you saying? Like, are you gonna kill him?
No, it's so true. Like, what is under the surface here?
No, so, like, it's just really a crazy thing to say. But I don't know, I'm with, like, think about from Khloe's POV. Like, both of these men she loves so much would have done anything for, like, really put her eggs in their baskets.
They both disrespected her.
They constantly disappointed her, disrespected her. She gave them chances. Nope, nope, nope. And now, like, you're on Instagram, like, just being so extra and thirsty when it's like, you couldn't belly up to the bar. Fuck off.
You know, and it's like, in a public sphere, you're going to pretend, like, to be supportive and defend me. When in reality,
that energy
to the personal life.
To the relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so I'm like,
loser.
I'm feeling for her. Like, don't talk the talk when you couldn't walk the walk.
Oh my God, that is so true.
For both of them.
Both.
They're both in timeout.
And Tristan, like, ever since it was announced that they did break up, has been, like, trying to fight that narrative on Instagram, and Khloe's, like, not participating in it. So I'm led to believe that they are not together.
I honestly think that Khloe needs to restrict Tristan from commenting on her photos.
Block.
And Lamar too, because it constantly puts her in the news cycle, like, attached to him. I don't think that's what she wants. You see from the show that, like, she just wants people to stop talking about them.
Right.
But he's constantly, like, he should think he's able to write these comments, but then they actually don't post.
Restrict.
Restrict.
It's my favorite
feature.
She
doesn't need to block them because he'll know, and then he'll start, you know, posting stuff. Just, like, restrict.
Yeah, but you know what? You're right. Like, every time, like, when that episode happened where Scott, like, left a weird comment on Khloe's Instagram, and it made news. It, like, gave her anxiety because her relationship becomes a part of a narrative now in the media, and that really, like, bothered her. And so you're right, like, they're actually both doing her a disservice because she doesn't want to be talked about.
100%. She doesn't want to be talked about with them, and at one point in her life she did, and they couldn't hack it.
No, and they embarrassed her for real.
Multiple.
She had
times
to get her LO tattoo removed on her finger. Like,
multiple.
Do you know
times
how painful that was?
She had Khloe and Lamar the show. Like, there were so many people who were invested.
She didn't do all of that just to be, you know, commenting on Instagram. Fake fighting.
Yeah.
Loser.
Loser. Talk the talk. walk the walk.
So true.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story? A little space news.
Yes. Virgin Galactica.
Yeah, you guys. This was a big weekend for space travel.
For billionaires.
Billionaire Richard Branson soars to space aboard the Virgin Galactic flight. British billionaire Richard Branson on Sunday soared more than 50 miles above the New Mexico desert aboard his Virgin Galactic rocket plane and safely returned in the vehicle's first fully crewed test flight to a space, a symbolic milestone for a venture he started 17 years ago.
Yeah, it was really cool, honestly. Like, I don't really know what the point of the mission was, because they just, like, floated, right?
And then it's came just, back like, down. Recreational space travel.
Right. Is he back down now?
He's back down. Yeah, it was just, like, a quick flight. Like, you know, an amusement park. You know, you go up, you come down. And I think that's going to become a trend.
Yeah, me too. We just were talking
about... Jeff Bezos, I think, is going today.
Shut up. Yeah, he's one day late.
It's today or tomorrow that is his flight.
That's crazy. And so, like, these billionaires are just, like, spending money on chilling in space.
Not even chilling. Just, like, seeing it.
Feeling the zero gravity. And then, well, I saw a video of when they actually got up there and all the people in the spaceship like took off their seatbelts because they were experiencing no gravity, and it was like so cool. And like Richard Branson was making this like weird speech and didn't get out of his seat, so I wonder if he actually did eventually unbuckle his seatbelt, because the content that I saw, he was still sitting. And like, what's the point in going to space if you're not going to float?
That's so interesting. Maybe he got up there next time. He has to work his way up.
He got up there and he was like, to all the kids watching, and it's like, No, he was really trying to make it.
Neil Armstrong, like, yeah. You paid for this.
Yeah, 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 exactly. He was really trying to make it like this inspirational, historic moment for billionaires. And like, I don't know, I just like wasn't feeling the emotion behind it, because it's like, you didn't become an astronaut. You just, and by the way, he's incredibly impressive and successful in all the things that he did, but he didn't like, you know, become an astronaut by trade. Like, he just bought a ticket.
Sort of like Addison Rae.
You're so right.
Yeah, but like Addison Rae made a joke about herself, like instead of being like to all the kids who thought you could never
be a journalist. So no, it's true. No, I guess.
And also like,
oh, you're right.
Now what he did is not inspirational. It's just really cool that like,
sick.
It's setting like, and for Jeff Bezos too. And like eventually, like if you have enough money, like you can pay to go to space. Like that's cool. That's not inspiring.
And I also want to say, in this life, no matter how much money I ever have, you can count on me to stay firmly on the ground. I have literally no interest. First of all, imagine how hot it is in that little container and there's fire coming out the back. Oh my God, I'd be sweating my ass off.
No, I'm sure they have like crazy AC.
I don't think so at all.
I think so.
I don't think that's a priority.
I think it is. I think like astronaut, like, well, they're not astronauts again. Travelers, like
space travelers.
The space travelers, like physical comfort is a priority.
Oh, you think? Okay.
Like they have spacesuits. Like it's, I mean, literally they're going to the moon. They can put an AC system. No, but our
like,
studio.
I personally just like run really warm. And so I just feel like the standard air conditioning on whatever aircraft I might board would just not be enough for me. And so for that reason, I would say no. Also, the seats look very small. Is there a bathroom? Can I have a drink or a snack? Like, I just don't think that space travel is for me, but that means there's more seats open for other billionaires.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think space travel is for you either.
You know, Richard Branson's actually like a cool guy, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like he's a lot of people's like idols.
And he's also the first shark to go to space. And I feel like not enough people are talking about that.
That is, well, first guest shark to go to space.
But when you're a guest shark, you are one of the sharks.
You know, when I was in the British Virgin Islands, which I've always been confused about, Virgin Company and then like the British Virgin Islands, because like Richard Branson owns like multiple islands in the British Virgin Islands. Like, are they named the British Virgin Islands because of Richard Virgin Branson? Like, I didn't understand that.
You know, that's a really good question.
And I think there's literally no affiliation whatsoever, but he just like, he owns multiple islands. Like, I'm just
there's
confused.
There's gotta be. They're Virgin Islands owned by Richard Branson.
But there's also the U.S. Virgin Islands. Like, maybe he took Virgin for his brand from the islands? But then he's also, okay, so I went to Virgin Gorda, which is one of the British Virgin Islands, and I was in a cab, and the guy was telling me about how like the island was completely ravaged by a hurricane like years ago, mm-hmm. and they got like no aid, and like literally Richard Branson paid for all the schools to be rebuilt. Like, he came, he rides his bike around the island, and like he didn't want any recognition for it. Like, so he really cares about the Virgin Islands. Don't you think he would like care because they're like his? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, there has to be a connection.
Yeah, it's just, I've always wondered.
Unless he's just obsessed with virgins.
No, I know. I'm telling you, there's no correlation, but like, I've always thought that.
Someone out there knows, and you're going to let us know. I just feel like there is a correlation now.
He has three islands. He's got his one, Necker, Mosquito. And yes, I've actually been to Mosquito. and what was the third one? Make Peace. Okay, so he doesn't...
In the British Virgin
But they're, yeah, so they're in the British Virgin Islands. Like, it's very confusing.
That is really confusing. I'm sorry that we don't have answers for you just yet.
It's disgusting, like, the lack of research at this show.
What show is this? Anyways,
space. Would you go to space?
You know, I'm not into heights.
Yeah, why would you test God like that?
So, and I like Earth. I really do. I'm happy here for the most part. So I don't know. I don't know what's out there for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm like so happy here on Earth, but I don't think I would be happier in space.
I don't think I'd be happier on Mars. It's very hot.
Definitely not. Maybe Pluto. We're maybe both like misunderstood. The moon for sure.
The moon's cute.
Do you know what year we went to the moon? In 1969. Not 1968, but the year after. Such a good song. Need a remix.
Informative, too. So, no, I don't think I'll be going to space anytime soon. But I guess that's, like, what happens when you've conquered the world. You literally need to go find a new one.
I just feel like we still have, like tons of problems here on Earth that I think we should focus our energy and finances on.
For me, personally, like, I'm just not done. Like, I feel like I've barely scratched the surface of Earth.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Like, I think space research and exploration is such an important part of our existence. Like, NASA. I just don't think it's on, like, the private citizen billionaires. Like, it's our job, like, to figure that out. Like, leave it up to
but
the...
But then, like, what about Elon Musk?
He works with NASA, correct?
SpaceX does work with NASA, but, like, that is a private citizen billionaire, like, really making waves in space travel.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say here is my opinion on certain things just depends on who's involved.
Just depends on who we're talking about.
And as long as I'm open about that, and I feel like I can't be really blamed.
I would say Elon Musk is everything's positive. Jeff Bezos, everything's negative. Richard Branson, neutral.
No, I agree. And Richard Branson's also British. And I think that's important because, like, we have, like, our own weird things in America, like, everyone, like different social issues. And I don't really feel like that applies in Britain. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I mean, people were upset that that's what he used his, like, billions
oh,
for.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
but I feel like he's also very philanthropic.
But also, like, whenever anything happens, anything, just could be Theo chewing on this bone, like, people will be upset about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what percentage of people are upset.
Yeah, I guess, like, when anything happens, you can expect a 15% backlash. And if it's anything more than that, then it's something to respond to.
I mean, no, I feel like when anything happens, you can expect, like, even, like, 0.001% backlash. But if you want to focus on that, sure.
Yeah.
But it also could be 99%. So I don't know what percent of his space travel was backlash.
I hadn't seen the backlash, but I think space exploration is fabulous. I don't know
if
I would...
just want to say, they didn't explore.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know if I would categorize this particular adventure as space exploration.
But
again, it's like, if I had $1 billion and I wanted to explore the inside of your butthole, like, let me do that, you know?
You don't need $1 billion to do that.
Yes, I do, because I would have to shrink us all down.
That's how much you would have to pay me to get in there.
Okay, fine, but I would also need the technology to shrink my spaceship and myself down to, like, literal the size of an ant.
They already have that technology for colonoscopies. So you could actually see inside of my asshole, probably, like, for free with insurance.
No, but I would want to go in myself as an explorer, like Richard Branson did.
So I think instead of making you smaller, we need to make me bigger.
Oh, yeah, we'll give you the biggest asshole this world has ever seen. How does that sound?
I'm good.
Okay, me too.
I'm really good.
So all in all, those were the Fast Five stories. Lots of things going on in the world and the Earth.
No, the solar system.
Yes, and the orbits.
The planetarium.
Yeah. All right, let's dive into the TV recap because I have so much to say about Real Housewives of Potomac. Probably as much as you have to say about Gossip Girl.
No, I have so much to say about Potomac too, and I need to just get it out before, like, I forget.
And today's TV recap segment is brought to you by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for me, I have, you know, crippling self-doubt, lots of anxiety.
Getting older.
Seasonal depression. So true.
Sorry, not to pile on.
No, yeah, please. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist where you can start communicating in under 48 hours. BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It is professional counseling done securely online. The service is available for clients worldwide where you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you do with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit BetterHelp.com/toast. That's BetterHelp.com/toast. Join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. The podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and if you want that 10% off your first month, go to BetterHelp.com/toast.
Thank you for that.
All right, let's start with the Real Housewives of Potomac because it's just like bursting out of me. The ladies are back. Monique is gone. Unfortunately, Candace is not. And we have Mia. And I just have to say, I think first episodes are usually kind of boring because everyone's just kind of like getting their bearings. There's very rarely a fight. There was a fight and it was so layered. I was shocked. Here's why. And you know, I don't like Wendy.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. I just wanted to put that in there. Please.
What was the fight? Like what was outbreaking between Giselle and Karen?
And the most shocking thing, Wendy inviting everyone over to her house to basically show off her breasts, talk about her plastic surgery.
Called nude interlude, and then
had a cake with boobs, cupcakes, literally nipples. Wore a sexy dress, made an announcement that was 3 hours long about my boobs, and plastic surgery. I was living for my kids. I was breastfeeding all day, pumping all day. 3 hours. What else did you get done? What else have you had done?
No, literally, I am all about, whatever you want to get done, you don't have to tell anyone.
Same.
But if you're going to make me drive 2 hours to celebrate your new plastic surgery, I want to hear everything you got.
And by the way.
I need to. What are we doing there? A nude interlude? She looks amazing.
Unbelievable. She definitely got some sort of, tummy tuck because they showed
They showed them playing with her stomach.
Yeah. I think she definitely got fillers and stuff. I think she also might have gotten a nose job. Whatever it is, she's never looked better. I was literally going to write down that doctor's name and drive to Potomac.
Literally same.
She looks unbelievable. And so wouldn't you want to share that? And it's all right, I guess you want to maybe say all right, I naturally look this way, but then you wouldn't have a whole party about your boobs. So she was just being really weird and hypocritical in inviting the women in to talk about plastic surgery and then not sharing the full story and getting offended when Mia was what else have you had done? And then she's what else have you had done? And Mia's response.
No, and not even, she said, what else have you have done? Because you look like you've had work.
So rude to a new person who's in your home, who's literally just asking a very fair question when you're having a plastic surgery party.
Right.
Such a rude response. Mia had the best answer. She just started listing off everything she's ever had done, which is a lot. She had her clit done. I just loved her honesty because if you're going to ask a question like that, you have to be prepared to answer it yourself.
Agreed. I just have to say, so far, I know it's only episode one. I really like Mia. I'm sorry I laughed at her tagline. I take it back.
Me too.
I'm so glad she's there. A friend for Karen, someone.
An ally.
And also, she seems like a great woman. She has her stuff together, sure of herself, confident. We'd love to see it. And also, we just need more people on Team Karen Ashley.
100%. And also with interesting backgrounds. Her husband's 30 years older than her. She has grandkids, but she's 32. It's so interesting.
36.
Whatever. And people's life choices, even though they're not my life choices, I find them fascinating. And I thought a lot of the women were being a little judgmental, but maybe that was just the editing because they didn't say anything. They were just making faces. But Giselle's just going to hate anyone who comes in with Karen. And honestly.
And Giselle really is rude to everyone who comes in, period.
Period. Literally. The hypocrisy that is Giselle is so frustrating. She refuses to acknowledge Karen because Karen was talking about Jamal's infidelity at the reunion. Basically, Giselle feels like that is an affront to her family, to her kids, disrespect. And while that could potentially be true, has Giselle been blind to what she's been doing to every single housewife since? Giselle is the bone collector. She exposes things going on in people's family. She was the one who brought up the rumors last season that Monique's kid wasn't Chris's dad. She has literally exposed things going on in people's personal lives, their families, their husbands, their kids.
And now she's the story of the century and you're mad at someone for bringing it up. Also, she brings up unverified rumors, conspiracy theories about her castmates because she thinks that the Jamal story was everywhere. It wasn't just heard this. It's fact.
Yeah.
So for her to be so upset at Karen, she really can't even see her own self. And it looks like later in the season, she brings up some unverified rumors about Eddie. And it's just that is you. I would want to see the energy Giselle brings to what Giselle and Jamal have going on if it were someone else.
Exactly. And honestly, I believe it's Wendy who says to Giselle, I'm not sure if it's pointed to Giselle, you had turned out to be everything everyone said you were. And it has to be to Giselle.
100%.
And I just want to let you know, that will be the redeeming moment for me and Wendy.
I felt the same way. I actually...
You have to learn.
Even in just watching that preview, it made me like Wendy more in this episode.
Because it's the perfect thing to say. And, of course, Wendy's new to the group. She's not going to come in and just, hate Giselle because of what people said about her. A nice person would give Giselle the benefit of the doubt until they've wronged her. And it appears that Giselle does... I hope that's... It has to be pointed towards Giselle.
I agree. I'm so excited for that. Giselle and Candace, having fruit and mimosas. I've never seen anything more fake in my life. even when Giselle was just like touring her house, just like everything was just like, there's no genuine friendship. They're like united in hatred against Monique and Karen. And then they were juxtaposing like the scene of Giselle and Candace like talking shit about Karen and Ray with Karen and Ray in their home. And they've literally never looked happier, like laughing so much, just like having such a good time. And it's like, Giselle is so bitter.
So bitter. And also like, she just... You know what I really don't like? One of my least favorite things when people do like in friendships is I open up to you about something that's going on in my life, whether it's something I'm vulnerable about, my marriage. And when we're in a bad place, you throw that back at me. Yeah. So last season, Karen was very open about like her and Ray sexually, like just we're not connecting. And twice this episode, she's like, your husband dick is broke. Like, it's so disrespectful to throw the thing that Karen was like open and vulnerable right. about.
And Giselle's new thing this season, which is just like so corny. She's like, I'm going to bring out all the truths. Like she said to Candace, and then like she literally repeated at the table. And it's like, that's not that strong of a line that like is worth repeating, whatever. And everything that she's saying are all things that like Karen has been pretty open about. So it's like, what truth did you uncover?
Yeah,
nothing.
We knew that she was broke. All right, I don't know if I knew that she struggled with alcohol, but like again, that doesn't make you a bad person.
She,
like,
when she got drunk last season and told them all these things that she wouldn't have, and then she really stopped drinking, and then they were like mad at her for not drinking at every occasion. Like, there's
nothing there. Being struggling with alcohol doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you just human.
Right. Like something about cheating. They had already said that about Karen. Yeah, a few
nothing that
ago.
She was like, I'm like, oh, okay. What are you finally going to say? Apparently you've been holding, which by the way, Giselle and Karen have been hating each other for so long. There's no way that this is her breaking point. Like she's had all these things she's been sitting on and protecting Karen from because she has hated Karen for so long. She would have thrown, if there was an actual big ass secret, she would have thrown it out there years ago. She has no self-control when it comes to gossip.
Karen is just everything.
She was looking amazing.
I just like, I need this season to provide justice. And yes, at the end of the day, it is justice for Monique and everything that happened last season, but it's justice team Monique, Karen and Ashley. And Ashley is just so cute and so pregnant.
I know.
I'm like, she was obviously not going to get involved in a lot, but I look forward to when she comes back.
Yeah, with Ashley, especially like with some of the home stuff, it's just like, I don't like Michael and I find their scenes to be like annoying because there's just like always so much drama. So it's like, he's such a great dad, but it's like, he was also like running around with strippers when you were pregnant. Like,
yeah,
it's frustrating, but there is, and I was watching the reunion from last season. It aired right before. There is something admirable about the way literally Ashley will defend her husband even when he's so guilty. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's a true marriage. Like, no, like literally so fiercely believes in him and believes him to be a good person and will literally go down for him. It's shocking.
Yeah, I think a lot of things. First of all, it's crazy how every season like Michael Darby does something so fucking crazy. It's like, how is he gonna come back from this? And then the next season I
it's
just
like nothing.
No, I like forget what happened with him.
He needs to just seriously stay off the show.
No, I know he can't, but I think for Ashley, like, and I feel like she kind of says this at some point, like she knows what her marriage is. Like she is in it like for the things that make her happy. Like she has her kids. Like I think that they just have a different sort of relationship and she's not trying to make it something that it isn't.
Right.
And she's happy with that.
It's like a different approach to marriage.
100%.
Yeah, I agree. I do like, I do wish justice for her as well. Like I'm hoping, and I don't know are we unique in taking the sides of the minority or does everyone feel like Monique was kind of wronged and Bravo choosing like Candace and Giselle as like do people agree with us?
I don't know. I used to sometimes like look at Twitter after each episode. I didn't do that last night, so I don't know where people stand. Yes. That were unique or no
people agree with us.
Justice for Monique.
Okay, 50-50. Yeah, because like I don't know how you could side like Robin Dixon, even though I have to say, I've actually never related more to Robin Dixon when she was talking about how, like, she just shut the fuck down in COVID. Like, she doesn't get out of bed. Like, I don't even have kids, and I did that. And, like, I can imagine how overwhelming it must have been. So I actually found her oddly, I found myself having empathy for her because that is actually a very real thing.
I felt the exact same thing. It's a very real thing. I think later in the season, it becomes more
of a problem.
Concerning. Yeah, and I think that sometimes that can be a red flag when, like, someone can't get out of bed, doesn't want to get out of bed.
It's the first sign of depression.
Yes, and so although we have our issues with Robin, I found that to be very relatable as well.
And in the preview, now I don't know if this actually happens, they do make it seem like there is a break between Giselle and Robin, which would really throw this entire season flew a loop. I don't know the phrase. Threw a loop. Do la peep. Like, it's a TikTok joke. That would be like a groundbreaking shift that would give, I think, like the next couple seasons of Potomac some of their best yet.
I agree. And also it looks like in the previews that Mia has issues with Candace.
Yes, which everyone has issues with Candace. So right. That was not so shocking.
I'm just looking forward to that. I was really not looking forward to watching last night because I'm still upset. And like, I know. Even when they were flashing back to previews, and I remember, like, I think it was around Christmas time that those episodes aired, and like we watched a reunion together,
difficult.
And it was just so upsetting. And like, I really didn't want to watch a show because like the outcome was not one in that I thought was fair.
Yeah.
But now I feel excited once yeah. more because I do feel like there is a path to justice.
No, I know. And like, we're actually living, it's a great time of year. Like, Beverly Hills, and I was actually thinking about this last night. So much has changed in the Bravo universe in these last couple of years. I would say that the best two Real Housewife franchises are Beverly Hills and Potomac, and they're both on right now.
Yeah.
So it's a good time.
It is a good time.
To be a Bravo fan. We went through some dark times. Like, we were watching OC in New York at the same time. Like, we deserve justice, you know? Yeah,
justice for us.
And Dallas, no offense. Like, it's a good time.
Yeah. And I can't tell you how excited I am for, like, the next seasons of Real Housewives, and I actually feel like these have been some of the worst seasons because of, like, all the COVID stuff. And, like, just to, like, watch these dinner parties with the mask. And, like, I'm so past it.
But also, some franchises have deep-rooted casting problems that are not going to be solved because of COVID.
Oh, yes, yes. But even the best of shows, like, it's just, like, it's every... Obviously,
no, Atlanta
just,
wasn't
like,
great this season.
Everything's being held back because of COVID. Yes. And now, like, we're living in a post-pandemic world and we're watching pandemic shit. And, like,
yes.
That I really... It's bothersome.
Yes.
But we're going to push forward.
Yes.
But I just want to say, like, it's really annoying.
100%.
Especially because, like, tonight or tomorrow night on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like, I'm pretty sure they get COVID.
Yes. When we were having so much momentum, like, with Erica.
So much momentum.
Yeah. No, it's so true. But Potomac... I agree. Like, I have a lot of high hopes for.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about Gossip Girl.
Let's.
First episode of the reboot dropped on HBO Max. I do want to preface by saying, I don't really think I've ever watched a reboot.
No, I feel like we talk about them all the time, but I've never, like, actually done it.
I had seen, like, a little bit of Fuller House because I was, like, curious, but that doesn't really count. Like, so I don't think I generally even like reboots. I just want to say that because I did not like this,
no,
obviously.
No, I did not like this, but I didn't... I thought I wasn't gonna like it based on just like the previews, but I wound up not liking it just for other reasons, not why I thought I wasn't gonna
like
it.
Let's start with the positives.
Okay.
I do think that the group of cool kids is cast very well. I think that that girl Zoya, the younger sister, is like the prettiest girl I've ever seen in my life. The boys are handsome. I love that it's a diverse cast. I actually think they did great on the casting. And the social scene of New York, like Dumbo House is obviously Dumbo Hall.
But why are these Upper East Side kids going to Dumbo?
Because Dumbo, like, the cool kids are like Brooklyn. Like, that actually is,
I guess, it also my
accurate
issue with it is, like, I don't know what the Upper East Side high school or 16-year-olds are doing today. I really don't. So I don't know, like, if
I think they could be going to Dumbo House for sure.
Okay, like, don't you have to be 21 to be a member? Like,
oh, true. But, like, I guess that the vibe is, like, they're too rich and powerful. They don't need IDs. Like, I guess.
Okay, cool. I agree. The casting is on point. There are some people who are early favorites. I don't know if I'm going to keep watching, so I don't know if they're, like, going to be also my last favorites as well. But the casting was good. What made the original show... So many thoughts. Okay. What made the original show so good were, I think, a number of things. Like, obviously, the story and whatnot. But the fashion... the music, and the New York elements. And I feel like this reboot did not have those things. I feel like the fashion was fine, but they're not setting any new trends. Some of what they were wearing, it's like, no one would fucking wear that.
Yeah.
Like, when Gossip Girl first came out, like, everybody started to dress like that.
Yes.
And I feel like, like I said, I don't know what 16-year-olds on the Upper East Side are wearing these days, but I do feel like it's more akin to, like, what we see on TikTok.
Yes.
Than what we saw on, like, Gossip Girl.
Like, those big jeans and...
Yeah, and, like, yeah, the dino stompers. Yeah. And, like, I don't feel like they nailed it on the fashion. Like, there are some cute fashion moments, but overall, like, they don't have, like, a vibe. The orange dress was cute, but, like, even that blonde girl, what she wore to Dumbo House is literally, like, what a 40-year-old woman would wear to a conference.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And it's just, like, no, she's probably 15 in the show. Like, she's not wearing a dress below her knees and pumps.
Yeah, no, and I guess this is a problem with the original Gossip Girl, too. They're juniors in high school, and don't get me wrong, kids who grew up in the city – grow go up to fast. Private school, have enormous wealth. They grow up fast. Not that fast. Like, no. It's not that crazy.
No.
But it's a cheesy show.
Actually, it is. Like, they go to clubs and they really act like they are 21-year-old adults. I guess. But they don't dress like that.
No.
So I felt like the fashion, which was, like, literally probably one of the most important tenets of the original show, was not there, not yet. Two, the music I did not think was good either. There was nothing from the show I wanted to Shazam. Like, all the songs were just, like, so...
Elevator music.
Exactly, elevator music. And three, New York, we literally got, like, nothing. We got the Mets, and I know they filmed during COVID, but, like, I'm sorry, that's not an excuse. If you want to bring back an amazing show 10 years later, then maybe you should wait until you can film the city.
I agree. There was no New York...
There was no New York.
Fabulousness.
None.
Also... Okay.
Okay, and then, wait.
Let's talk about the plot. Wait,
can I just say one more thing? Because Snitch said this, and I actually totally agreed with her. If this was a show, and I think she probably saw this, like, take on TikTok. If this was a show that was not a reboot, and it was just, like, this show, period, called New York City Prep, whatever. Yeah. It would be better than the fact that
there's
it is.
There's a legacy.
That it would be better than it being a Gossip Girl reboot, because you're always going to compare it to the original, and it's just not as good.
And it's not fair.
And like, it should just be called something else.
Yes, because I do have to say, one pro is I actually do like how they regard the original Gossip Girl. They're like, yeah, Nate Archibald went here. It's like a funny, unique way, but most kids actually today like haven't even seen Gossip Girl. So like, I do think it was a nice homage and a good way of like addressing the elephant in the room. But the show completely lost me.
Like
when they made the horrendous choice to make those four losery ass teachers Gossip Girl. You're telling me, you are going to sit here and tell me in my face that these four grown ass adults went to college, grad school, probably got their master's in education, worked their way up to one of the best private schools in Manhattan just to start a blog? Is that what you're telling
Instagram
me?
Account. That's what they're telling you.
There's no fucking way. First of all, so inappropriate teacher-like conduct. Standing outside the window while the girl is changing, taking a picture of her. Like, are you fucking serious?
It wasn't until I could get behind the teacher element. Like, the kids make their lives miserable, and, like, these are just, like, some pressed teachers, and they want to get back at them. But once...
No, but that wasn't even the premise that they wanted to get back. They wanted to steer them in the righteous direction. That's not going to do that.
But once the grown man... took the Peeping Tom photo of
Thomasina.
The freshman, I'm going to say 14-year-old, in her bra and underwear, that was where you lost me.
Yeah. And so I didn't, like, honestly, I think the premise of knowing who Gossip Girl was, like, does add another element. But, like, the fact that it was the teachers, like, I was like, this show is a joke. They're not taking the legacy of Gossip Girl seriously. Like, this is disgusting.
Also, I agree completely. Agreed. Nothing more to say about the teachers because it's just shocking.
It's so upsetting.
What also was off...
Wait, sorry. Can I say one more thing about the teachers?
Yeah.
Okay, so at the end of the episode, they're like... They hark back to the first minute when, you know, Julian, I think her name is, knocks the coffee out of the blonde teacher's...
Tavi Gevinson. I sent you that.
Who is that?
She is like a blogger, a kid blogger back in the day. And I thought she looked familiar, but also she like also looks like Scarlett Johansson. She talks like her...
I never heard of her.
Okay. I sent it
to... Yeah, I know. I remember.
She was just like a fashion kid.
Okay, whatever. So she spills coffee on the teacher in the first episode and is so mean to her.
Well, Julian wasn't so mean to her. It was the other girls.
Oh, was she?
Right? Because Julian really wasn't mean to anyone.
Right, so then I was like, is Julian supposed to be mean? Because when that scene when she embraced her sister in the bathroom, I was like, so cute. I couldn't get a read on anything. The show was very... What the fuck did she airdrop to everyone at the fashion show?
No, okay.
They never showed us. Literally, the show had so many continuity issues. I was like, what? It was so...
No.
It was her plan, and then it was her plan, and then she co-plan. What the fuck happened?
This was my next comment, which was like the original Gossip Girl, the scheming was so on point. And in the first major scheme of the episode, I couldn't even tell you what happened.
What did she airdrop?
I think a picture of Thomas Jordy's penis.
Who?
Max, I think his name is. But I know him because he's from Descendants.
Whose penis? Is that her boyfriend?
No, the guy who's doing drugs the whole time.
And having a threesome?
That's like the Chuck Bass. Yeah.
What would that have to do with...
Who used to date Dove Cameron. He's from Descendants.
Oh, cute. What would that have to do with the sisters?
Okay, so I guess, like, this is me really trying to, like, play devil's advocate and trying to understand what happened.
And how do you know it was a penis shot?
Because she was, like, unbuttoning his pants, styling him. For the shot.
Oh!
So I think think she took a picture of his penis. I think she airdropped it to everyone in the room.
From Zoya's phone.
From Zoya's phone. I guess she airdropped it to the security guards too. Because they kicked her out for airdropping a picture of a penis. They never said that you couldn't do that.
So and I then, guess they and were then trying
Julian
to
Julian was supposed to, from her perch on the runway, say, leave her. And the security guards would listen to the model.
Right.
Even though they were escorting her because she broke this penis rule.
So I guess like the scheme was supposed to be like Zoya tried to ruin her sister's moment at the fashion show, but instead got kicked out embarrassingly.
Yeah. So that's
the worst scheme.
My biggest issue. Like, it's the first episode. Like, there are schemes aplenty.
Yeah.
And that's what you came up with. Like, Blair Waldorf is rolling over in her grave. Also, the script, trash. One-liners, the insults in the original Gossip Girl, like the Blairisms, like, iconic. Nothing.
I needed to see more wealth as well. Like, we saw the entryway to all of their homes. Like, show me the house.
Yeah.
Show me the house. Where do they live? Uptown? Downtown? Townhouse? Penthouse? Like,
there was nothing. There was no New York. There was no real estate.
Yeah.
There was nothing.
Also, one final thought that I had, which I'm just forgetting. Give me 1 second.
Take your time.
Oh, fuck. I can't remember.
No, you'll remember.
It was,
The teachers again.
It's always the teachers. I can't remember. It was just like, I really did want to like it, but maybe it's because COVID, but it just should have been way better.
It was just really not good for how much time, energy, resources, etc. Like
marketing.
Every time I watch an Instagram story, the next one is for Gossip Girl. Like, yeah, it's everywhere. And it's just like not that strong. And I feel like if you want to bring back an iconic show, it has to be all of those things. And it really missed the mark on so many.
But I really thought it was going to be like that show because there's been so much marketing for it, like such a big push. I'm like, oh, this is going to be like the HBO Max like thing. It's going to be huge.
Yeah.
And just like wasn't.
It's already been renewed for season 2.
I'm probably not going to make it there. But again, maybe I just don't like reboots.
I don't like reboots. I also don't like, you know, 15-year-old drama. So yeah. Maybe we're just too old for it. But I don't think it was beloved by most. I was looking on Twitter. I was sending you like some of the funniest tweets.
It was so funny, the memes.
Such funny fucking
because it was just like so outlandish.
Yeah, and the teachers, like, it's just unacceptable. There could have been a way to get a photo where you weren't taking a picture of an underage girl in her underwear.
Like somebody like sent it as a tip.
Somebody sent it as a tip, or like they were just in the window like talking closely to each other, not taking their clothes off.
Right, and so they were leaving Dumbo House and he lived right around the corner, but they all apparently live on the Upper East Side.
But not him.
Okay.
Yeah, because the Brooklyn Bridge was in the background.
And asked me if I followed anything that was going on with the rest of the group, like the blonde girl and her boyfriend, like thinking about the other guy. They're both in love with Chuck Bass. Like, I couldn't remember anyone's name. I'm sorry. Am I following that correctly? Like, they're like in a loveless relationship because they're both in love with that other guy. And they're obviously going to end up having a threesome.
I think that they should be a throuple.
Yeah.
I don't know. And something's different. Like, everything was just, like, so implied. And we're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like, and also, they didn't introduce us to anyone. Like, we were just supposed to follow along who everyone is, where they're from, what their name is. Like, I got no introduction to anyone. Like, we showed the blonde girl fucking her boyfriend. I'm like, well, are they in a relationship? Or are they having, like, a secret affair? They gave us nothing. There was no narrator.
Yeah. Well, there was eventually, but
it was just not good.
It was not good. I'm really sorry. It's a mess.
Yeah. But there might be potential. It needs work, though.
Yeah. They need, like, new writers and things. But also, the original was so good because it was based on the books, which were bestsellers for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no plot
here.
There's
no more story because the books are over.
Yeah.
It was an easy show to make because it was already written.
Yeah. And, like, so...
But Cecily Von Ziegler is just rolling in it.
I know. It did make me want to rewatch the original Gossip Girl.
I have not done that.
I did it, like, I think... in college.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it was over yet.
Definitely not.
But it was just so good. So maybe I'll do that. But like, I can't. This is my thing with like watching TV. Like, I get so sucked in. Like, last night I was up like way later than I should have been because I needed to finish Medici and like I needed to go to the next episode. And it's like addicting.
Yeah, of course.
And you have to break the cycle.
You do.
So I don't know that I want to get engrossed in another television show. I won't leave my room for like 4 days.
That sounds amazing.
No, it's not amazing. It does not feel good. It does. No, because this weekend I was so excited because I was like, I'm going to sleep in. I'm just going to, I haven't had like a weekend like that.
We were supposed to get our Patreon vlog up.
Right. But then we like didn't have we never airdropped it to each other. That is coming soon.
It's coming today.
Really sorry. We felt really bad about it.
Yeah, it was 100% like our fault.
We were like FaceTiming, both having pits. Like,
yeah, because like I have some of the videos on my phone. Jackie has some of them on her phone. Like, we can't send them because they're too big. So we have to be together to airdrop them, and we weren't together all weekend. Like,
right.
We're really sorry. Because
I was like sucked in by my television.
Right. And it's basically the television's fault.
No, it's just, it's really toxic. Like, sure, there's a lot of entertaining content, but it's really hard to wean yourself off.
Yeah.
And I spent most of the weekend just like watching TV, and like, I did not feel good. I actually felt quite bad.
I hear you. I can't really relate to that particular sentiment, but I have a lot of empathy for what you're going through.
No, now I've broken the cycle because I got here today. Okay,
that's so good.
But I do need to watch the third season of Medici, so I, who knows
what's going to happen. Girl's got to do what she's got to do.
And now,
but that just means we're going to have a really robust TV recap segment. Also, I don't want to do like a whole Love Island recap because I want you to catch up. But it was getting a little slow, I'm not going to lie. But last night's episode was 2 hours. It was actually pretty good, like, because there was a recoupling ceremony.
Did things, like, pop off?
Yes. So they had a challenge. Can I tell you what happened?
Sure, I don't care. Okay. So, I'll skip the episode.
So the new girl came.
I've watched everything except last night. New girl came.
And she took out Josh.
She took out, I saw that. And it looked like they were hitting it off.
Yes,
and
she got two more dates. And she asked Jeremy out. And Jeremy was also, like, having a lot of cold feet, expressing to the women, the men.
He was saying one thing to the men, and Trina was saying something else to the women.
Yes, so, like, it made Trina look so sad and desperate, but he really did not communicate. They went on a date, and he was like, I'm happy with where we are. And then he goes home and says, like, I told her. And she had a completely different experience. He was gaslighting her, for sure. And she was heartbroken when he ended it with her. And he ended it with her at the same time he was like starting to vibe with Amy, and she got a date and she took him. And Trina was just like left in the dust. So in the recoupling ceremony, like, she just chose Corey, who like no one has spoken to because she had no one else to talk to, and she thinks like maybe there could be something there. She's also like having regrets about Cinco, as she should, because Cinco is the best guy on the show. I love him. He's honestly, I was thinking, like, if I was on the show, I would go for Cinco. He's so sweet. He's not a player. He chose Cachet, and he was like, we really built a friendship. And, like, every night now they're making out, and they're actually really cute. And, like, they had to do this challenge where, like, they would, like, do a sexy walk on the beach and then, like, pick a girl to kiss. And they had, like, his walk was so cute. They had the cutest kiss. Like, Trina is living a life of regret because Cachet is living the life that she thinks she should have. And it's really hard for her, so she just chose Corey, like, in a moment of desperation. Amy went on the date with Jeremy, really vibed, and then Amy got another date and chose Will.
Okay.
The new Colombian guy. And so he was told Kira. Kira is like so obsessed. Fragile. She's so fragile. He told Kira, he was like, I'm going to go. Like, I want to, like, you know, be open. And she was devastated. He went on the date. They like vibed really well. He came back and he told her, like, you know, I'm going to explore it with her and with you, you know. And she was unwell, like so frazzled. Then, like, later that night, he just went back and was like, I'm sorry, actually, I changed my mind. Like, I want to stick with you. And she was, like, happy about it, but, like, now, like, a little, you know, on edge. So, basically, that really left Amy with Jeremy. I don't know if she would have chosen Will, but Amy and Jeremy were cute. But, like, it leaves. And I was like, I don't know how to feel because I love Trina. I love Jeremy. And I loved them as a couple. And I don't know if I love Jeremy with this girl. Like, it's, I don't know if she's the one for him. Like, I had a lot of, like, love for him and Trina. So, in the recoupling ceremony, Trina chose Corey. That girl, Olivia, who's like stuck in a love triangle with two nobodies, chose the one that she was already with, Giovanni.
Okay.
In the challenge. Oh, okay, wait, sorry. So when they got back from the hot tub date, Amy and Josh, Shannon, I mean, she might have been drunk, but she was just like pissed. And so she was
I don't think they can get that drunk. I don't think they get that much alcohol.
I was thinking the same thing.
Because with CBS, they give you a limited amount.
So she was just being irrational. She was like obviously jealous. And I thought that actually would have made Josh like happy because he likes her so much more than she likes him.
Yeah.
She's finally showing like she cares. And he was like, this is a red flag. Like, you're acting crazy. So the next morning she was like, I'm sorry. I was just like jealous. I'm really happy with where we are. And he was like, it's fine. It was just like a red flag, like a little bit of a turnoff. But they made up.
Honestly, Shannon deserves that. Like, she was so rude to him and about him the first night. I don't know what changed for her, but she did not appreciate him. And I actually, like, don't like her.
Oh, well, I like her. But wait, listen. Then in the challenge, they all do their sexy walks. Josh, does a sexy walk and pulls Amy to kiss. But he, like, threw his hat to Shannon when he was, like, taking off his sexy outfit. And so everyone obviously, like, she, like, stepped forward for the kiss. And he went in for Amy, and it was honestly so awkward, and she was furious. And then it was like, girls, you're in charge of the recoupling session. So he was like all verklempt. He made the worst mistake ever. It was like the morning of the recoupling matching ceremony, and he's dissing the only girl he has a chance with.
Right.
And she was basically like, if you wanted to explore other people, like, that's fine, but, like, you embarrass me, like, so hard. Like, everyone was like feeling bad for me. I hate that you disrespect me in front of everyone. You obviously just don't have respect for me, and you embarrass me. Like, it's not about you kissing Amy. That's fine. Like, it really is. It's the way you did it. Like, that really, really hurt my feelings. So she was basically saying she was going to choose Christian or Giovanni, who have like nothing going on right now,
yeah,
to save because they deserve to be there more than Josh. And then in the recoupling ceremony, she chose Josh. Like, it was just so stupid. And then I'm like, okay, girl, I have no respect for you, because he was being a fuckboy. He did disrespect her. And if you want to have some respect from yourself, send him home. And then that guy Christian went home, who honestly should have went home because he doesn't have a connection with the plants, let alone another person in the house. But
right. I mean, I don't think it would make sense for Josh to go home. He seems to be like integral to the drama. Yeah. And maybe Shannon and Josh can get on good footing from here. I just like really didn't like how she treated him in the first episode. Not to like judge her so prematurely. And maybe I'll feel differently after I watch last
night. They're even now. Honestly, Josh is indebted to her. But now it's like when it's the guy's coupling ceremony, she has a lot to worry about because he's a fuckboy and he's obviously not like ride or die for her.
That's so weird, because everything that I've seen, he's been so ride or die.
It was a total shift last night's episode of who he is. Cinco and Cachet chose each other, and like when they were like choosing each other in the ceremony, Trina looked like she literally wanted to jump off the cliff. Like, I actually felt so bad for her, because she has exactly what they want. She's made it very clear now, like, she is here for a relationship. Yeah. She's talking to Jeremy about doing long distance when they get home on their date, and he's just like not into it at all.
I know, I saw that.
So it's like, I feel bad for Trina, but she did put all of her eggs in one basket. Jeremy did mislead her 100%, but now she's kind of left with nothing.
Damn. Yeah. Okay, so maybe I should watch last night's episode.
It was good. It was so long. Pivotal. It was. Like, when it was finally honestly, the coupling first ceremony.
Like, really not a lot happened.
Nothing.
And it really didn't feel like there were strong connections. You know, they were just sort of like trying to make stuff happen. I felt like actually Kira and Will were becoming the strongest.
But the waters were tested this week between Kira and Will.
Tested. The waters are always going to be tested. And next week, tonight, new guys are going to come in.
No, so then in the preview, tonight's episode is streaming.
New girl, sorry.
Tonight's episode is streaming on Paramount Plus. It's like a bonus episode. I don't think we need to watch it.
No, you don't.
Then the new people come on Tuesday back on CBS.
Okay, and there's going to be new girls.
Yes, there's three new girls and one new guy. And a lot of the new girls, they said they want to go on a date with Cinco. So that's going to be interesting, because I really like Cachet and him. I think like I didn't think they were a match at first, but they've really just like started out as friends, and now every night they're just like grabbing each other's asses. Like, it's actually really cute.
That is really cute.
Okay, but now a lot of the new girls are gonna come for it.
I'm glad things are picking up. Just wait, I heard that this season they're bringing back Casa Amor.
What's that?
Oh my god, it was this thing that happened last season where basically the guys leave the house, all the guys, and they go to another house called Casa Amor where there's five new girls there, and the girls stay at the house and five new guys come in.
Oh, and so they see if they want to stay in the relationship or pursue anything new with new people. That's crazy. Yes,
and at last season, the strongest couple, Johnny and Sally, Johnny went into Casa More and like,
I remember you telling me this, and he ditched his day one girl for some random new girl.
And just like lost his mind in Casa More and then came back and like thought he could like not tell anyone. But all the people, by the way, when new people come onto the show, they've been watching everything. Right. So all the new people would come on and be like, Sally, you need to ask Shani about Casa Amor.
Right,
just like the craziest thing, Casa Amor. Anyways,
they're doing it again. That's good.
Yeah, no, it was just like really funny.
It's definitely starting slow. And I think that like it being on for 6 weeks, like it could be on for three and they could just like do more each episode. But whatever, yeah. I'm having fun.
Yeah, no, and it's nice. They really switch up the cast a lot. So it's like, it's good.
Yes, it was really sad. Can I tell you when I went home?
Yes, please.
Christian.
Oh, like, you already said that.
The guy with the blonde.
You already said that because he couldn't connect with the plants.
He couldn't connect with anyone, but like he was so sad to be leaving. He's like, when you guys leave here, I want to be the first person you see. Like, it's like he's going to have so much FOMO. Like, not even from being famous around the show, because I didn't get that vibe from him.
He was just having
like
a good time.
He's friends with everyone. And he was actually an integral part of this episode. He's the biggest shit talker, because the guys talk and the girls talk. And the only way to know about what the guys are talking about is because Christian runs and tells everyone. Like, he's a snitch. And you actually need a person like that, or else there's no, because he was the one who gave a heads up to Cachet and was like, Jeremy is not into Trina, like, you've got to tell your girl. And Cachet was like giving her a pep talk, like, maybe you shouldn't put all your eggs in his basket, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
and that wouldn't have happened without the snitch Christian.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you're gonna need a new person like that.
Okay, well, I'm sure they'll make a new person like that. Yeah. Like, that's what producers are for.
Yeah. So that was the longest TV recap segment we've ever had on our show, and that's it.
Yep.
Anything else you want to say?
No, I think that's it. We'll be back tomorrow for another wonderful show. Mm-hmm. So we'll see you then. And until then, hope you all stay well.
Have an amazing day. Thank you so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us the Morning Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day. We'll see you tomorrow for Tuesday's show. Have a great day.
Goodbye. Bye.